Now today, we are continuing on in our sermon series, Armor of God. What a series we started with 2 weeks ago on the first Sunday, and we started our devotional that goes along with it. If you haven't had a chance to pick up your devotional yet, there's several outside of the worship center here. You can feel free to pick one up on your way out today. Or if you are not here today, and of course you're viewing online, feel free to stop in the office and pick one up as well. You know, God is good in the way that he prepares us and prepares our time together, weaving worship together and weaving our time as the message together. You know, he really is just that good all the time. He prepares our hearts and minds and makes us ready for the day. The snow that did not detour us today brought us together today because we have something to learn. We have something to study. We have something to prepare for today. And today that message is the armor of God, and it's the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Now we look at the armor of God. It is every single piece is so important. Every single piece is integral to what it means to have the armor of God. Now, not just the whole armor of God, but each piece you have to understand is that important. When you put it on, you put it on a piece at a time, understanding the importance of that piece being put on that day. See, the whole armor of God is what's needed. But we also must understand the significance of the importance of that individual piece put on time and time again. So today, when we start this message, let us go to the scripture of emphasis today, which is Ephesians 6:14. Ephesians 6:14, if you have your Bibles with you today, why don't you go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 6:14. And in case you're not sure and you haven't asked me yet, I read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which is the HCSB. No better than any other translation, it's just the one I like. So it's the one I read from. Ephesians 6:14 says this, "Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like the armor on your chest." When you listen to that piece of scripture today, you can understand directly where we're going today without any misunderstandings. And let us dive into that first part, which truly is put on the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth. And if you're a nerd like me, I put the Greek letters up here if you really want to know it. It's not really part of my sermon. I just, if you want to know it, there it is. The Greek word is aletheia, and I spelled that for you. See, the Roman soldiers always wore a tunic. And what's a tunic? That's not mentioned in the armor of God. I know, but there's an important reason why I'm mentioning it. See, a tunic is just basically a square cloth put over the body. The head is cut out, the arms are cut out, and it usually drapes down about their knees. Now, this is important to know because that is why it is so important for the belt. You see, as a soldier is preparing for battle, they put on their armor, right? And this tunic is what draped over them. It was kind of loose. But remember, in this time of battle, hand-to-hand was so important. And if you had loose clothing, how easy it would be to wield you around if I could grab a hold of that clothing. So what they do is they take the belt and they cinch it up nice and tight to make that tunic nice and tight fitting to their body as they prepare for hand-to-hand combat. So we look at that large piece of cloth that had the head cut out and the arms cinched tight with the body. It's very important to understand. So we look at the component to the overall warrior's body. It starts with the belt to put around it, to allow for that hand-to-hand combat to happen, to have not so loose of clothing, but to have us prepared and ready for it. And see, there's the key word, prepared and ready. So when you have that loose tunic, you're just, you know, I'm at least dressed. Now, it's not like yoga pants going to Walmart, you know. It would be similar to that, right? If you have a loose tunic, it's like yoga pants going to Walmart. Should you? I'm here to tell you no. okay? You should not, because it tempts other people to do it, and they should not, okay? You guys got me off track. See what happens here? We have a snow day, and then I come back 2 weeks later. I haven't seen you guys in a while, and we just get carried away. All right, let's get back on the track here. See, before the battle, they get ready. They're prepared. They cinch up that belt nice and tight around their tunic to prepare for battle, to get ready. But now, interesting thing of what God calls this belt and what is the armor of God. It is the belt of truth. See, aletheia is truly that word of truth and truthfulness. See, we have to be guarded and prepared and ready for battle because of the truth of God. See, his word is something we have to have written on our heart and our minds at all times. And if we haven't prepared for battle, then we're going to be wielded around by Satan and his schemes with no exceptions. See, it's like a loose tunic. If you don't get prepared for battle, Satan can get into your mind, into your heart, and wield you around like no big deal. Toss you around like a rag doll. But in preparedness, we cinch up our tunic and we get ready for the battle. See, when we look at truth, we should easily have a love for truth. See, that love for truth prepares our hearts and our minds and our souls to be ready for it. And tightening up our mindset. Because it's easy for us to come to a believer and be like, yes, Jesus, I believe in you, and this is all good, and I like it. But when we start preparing our minds ready for the battle, when we start diving into the Word and preparing our hearts for all that it's ready for, now that's a love for truth that must be on you as you prepare for the battle. See, if you don't have a love for the truth, then you don't, and you're not prepared to wear the armor of God. You know, that belt cinching up is really important. Because if you haven't put on that truth, then you start putting on other pieces that connect to that belt, and you don't have the belt on, you're not ready, all the other pieces are going to fall off. Or be loose as you're trying to run through the battle. That's why you start with a cinched belt and prepared. The importance of the belt of the armor of God is this. One, the belt holds the armor together. It is that essential grounding piece. It sets you free from error. Because if you have the truth in your heart and in your mind, man, imagine how straight you could walk. But if we crowd it out, we let other things in our minds and our path, then we can be easily deceived. See, the belt sets us apart and can allow us to be free from error if we only follow the truth. And the belt truly sets you apart from the world. See, that belt of truth, that knowledge that's within you, that set apart from the world. Because what's the world's mantra? Hey, you do you, I'll do me, and it's all good. But the reality is this. We don't want that. When we took the time and the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we think about this baptismal pool that will be used next week. We think about the people going to be making that decision to be baptized. You made that decision at one time. And when you did that, you made a choice to set yourself apart from the world. And truth is that which is what's being set apart. See, we know the truth. We know what's right and wrong. We believe it. If not, why would we go through this public profession of faith as baptism? Why would we make that choice? What does it matter? If it's only in words and not in deeds. If it's not the truth we're seeking after, but fame and glory, to be one of the Christians, to have our fire insurance drawn out and ready for action. But see, it's the truth of the Lord that will set us apart. Everything else in the armor depends upon truth and is built upon truth. And that's where you start. See, when you look at this, you think about the belt. You also have to secure your belt, right? You have to be the readiness for battle. See, the belt is girded securely, preparing you for what it means to go to battle. When you look at that word, aletheia, which is truth, it basically refers to that which is true. It seems so simple, right? That a word is defined by its own name. But it's really the reality that we think about it. Process that truth. Now, it's not just your truth. I'm talking truth of God's word. Because your truth is subjective, right? Because what's in front of me is my truth. But what really are we looking for? We're looking to guide and direct our lives and prepare ourselves for what it means to be on His truth. Because His truth will truly guide and direct us. Our truth will only get us as far as we can see. And it will definitely not lead us to the kingdom of heaven. See, our truth, I know this is going to hurt some feelings. It does me sometimes. But our truth is a lie. Our truth is that we believe that whatever's in my way is under my influence. But I'm telling you, that's why it's so important to cinch that belt up nice and tight and be prepared with His word. And because then you understand truly that it is His word that guides and directs you. It is His way that you are seeking after, and it's His purpose that drives you or should drive you. See, that is the truth. See, the content of God's truth is what truly drives us towards something. See, when we read His scripture and we understand His word, it guides and directs us to something more and more important. It drives us to a being and an example of what it means to follow His truth. See, that truth sets you apart from the world. Not just because you claim the name Christ, but because the truth gives us the idea of how to live our lives differently, how to walk differently, how to talk differently, how to be differently. See, it's not just that simple terms, it's more than that. It's about being sanctified. See, that truth is only one part of it. You know, the idea of, you know, I read the Bible this year and last year and the year before, and I read it through and through. Teddy, I read every word multiple times. That statement should be followed with, but I didn't apply it to my life. See, that's how much value it brings to do that. It brings value to read God's word and actually apply it to your life. I don't care if it takes you 10 years to get through the whole Bible, as long as you're applying it to your life as you're reading it. See, that's truth. That's what sets us apart from the world. See, sanctification means set apart. To be sanctified means set apart from something, which is set apart from that world, right? And we look at this sanctified, and we can find that in 1 Peter 2:9 to understand what it means. 1 Peter 2:9. So when Peter talked about something here, it's very important for us. Important for us to understand about this truth and sanctify. So he called us chosen generation. He called a royal priesthood, His own special people. And when you read 1 Peter 2:9, it says this: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." This is how we're set apart. This is how we're different than everyone else. Not every other church. It's one church, right? But we're set apart as people, as believers, as ones who are following Christ. See, that truth is not debatable. He chooses us. And we choose Him. See, that's that choice part of truth, right? It's not just enough to hear it. You have to want it. And you have to know it. And you have to believe it. You have to accept it. And it has to change your life. See, that's truth. That's when truth has just totally transformed you. That's when truth has sanctified you into someone new. And that is the reality of the truth. We look at the wholeness of truth and what I mean by set apart. And I am talking about the church, not little c, which is what we are. We're a little c. I'm talking about the big church, the c. We look at that. The original term for that was, you know, again, another nerd word if you want to know. It's called ecclesia, which is meant for the church, right? Now, the interesting thing about that word, the verb form of it is this, to be called out. Not, hey, you're an idiot, do something different. Not calling you out like that. I'm talking calling you out from the world. You're in the world and you're being called out of that to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be in the truth of His Word. See, now that is something truly to understand. To be called out is a way of truth that will allow us to truly be ready and prepared for the battle. Because here's the reality. Satan is looking for a stronghold in your life. That loose tunic, you know? Looking for that loose tunic to just grab a hold of it and be able to yank you around. You know, I'm a big guy. But there's people who are smaller than me that if I had a loose clothing could move me around pretty easily if they got a hold of a good grip. I can't overpower that because I'm off balance. That loose tunic is truly that. Is what's set apart. You've been grabbed a hold of. And Satan is looking for every moment like that. He's waiting for you to wake up that morning and say, yeah, I can go to Walmart in yoga pants. It's okay. He's waiting for you. But instead, get up, be prepared. Do I have my belt cinched? Am I ready to go out? Am I prepared? Have I prepared my mind? Have I prepared my will? Have I prepared who I am to be as a Christian to walk out in this world? Now I mock yoga pants and I'm sorry. It's just, it came to mind this morning and I apologize. But I mean what I say about yoga pants. Some of you husbands don't know what I'm talking about. The reality is that Satan truly is looking. But truth can set you free from error. Now, is knowing God's word mean that you'll never make a mistake? Please don't misunderstand that statement. If you follow truth, if you make it a part of your life, if you let it put one foot in front of the other, see that truth, that is something that will totally set you apart from error. You won't be in error. Because if you put one foot in front of the other, according to God's word, and the way He tells you to walk, the way He tells you to talk, the way He tells you to do, you'll be set apart from error. Very easily. When we look at truth, it sets us apart also from that false teaching. See, that's the world we live in right now. Which, if you know anything about history, you understand that it's been the same argument over and over and over, recycled, refined, and defined again. It's the reality of what it means to do that. Thank you, Jacob. Whose kid is that anyway? I tell you, give me a week off and we're... All right, got a center here. Got to get back to the sermon here. You guys. Hey, buddy. See, when Jill's, talking Bible goes off, I don't really mention it because, I don't want to call Jill out, but, or Jolene's, both of my talking Bible apps that when my voice just commands it to speak scripture, Anyway, I digress. Here we go. Let's look at this, though. We talk about these false teachers. See, it's something that truth has to prepare us for, to get us ready for, to guard our hearts, guard our way of life. And if you turn to 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, people of the world desire false teaching. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says this. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. You have that itch to want something new. You know, I can't open the Bible, and even though I have the degrees that require me to understand the Bible, I can't open and study Scripture without feeling like I learned something new every time. There's books of the Bible that I've gone through a couple different times with churches and with small groups and stuff like that. And every time I go through it, I'm like, man, I feel like I got more out of it that time. Because His Word is so true and it so prepares our heart and our minds that we can never be totally full. He has more to teach you every single time you go through a piece of Scripture. So when you open His Word, don't desire something new for the newness of it. Go to something that's true and understand how it applies to your life in a new way. See, now that is true. That is being prepared. That is getting ready. That is understanding what it means. Don't get caught up in the lie of new. Understand His truth and let it protect you. Now I have a couple of case studies to talk to you about. I'll go through these kind of relatively quickly. First case study I want to talk about is the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. See, Satan is looking for that stronghold in your life, right? Most of you know this story. It's in Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. See, there's a stronghold in this rich young ruler's life. That stronghold is money. Now, we all like money. But he really liked his money and his possessions. And it caused him to make a decision. Let's look at this. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. We'll start there. Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. See, if you go one more verse, you truly hear the truth of this section. And it is this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, the rich young ruler, his possessions, his money was so important to him that it meant giving up following Jesus because of those possessions. That money just couldn't seem to let go of. See, that's the reality of what they're dealing with. It's a stronghold in his life. Now, there's times in our life that we have strongholds too, and it could be whatever yours is. A little case study, and I'm going to put my name in here, and you can fill your name in the blanks, whatever you want. But I'll talk about when I came to Christ, I could not understand what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Because I accepted him. I wanted him in my life. I knew he was going to make great changes. And so I believed that so much that I literally changed my life. And some of you heard more of my story, so you know that, you know, I changed my life that day completely. But I didn't believe the truth. See, I didn't believe the truth that I was forgiven. I believed that he said, man, you are doing good. Change your life and now do good and eventually I'm going to let you in. Total lie. See, if you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, here's where I was stuck. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. See, I was stuck there. I was stuck because I didn't understand the truth. I got stuck right in that verse. You are dead in your trespasses. And good thing you came to Christ because eventually you're going to get in. And then I had this eye-opening moment. Two more verses, if you continue on, and it says it like this. And when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. You should really highlight that section of verses. Forgave us all our trespasses.
Amen.
I was a dirtbag before Christ. I don't have a better way to describe it. I lived for me. It really was about me. But when I gave my life to him, I gave it over him. And that stronghold in my life that I couldn't understand forgiveness because in my family it wasn't modeled. Every time you were forgiven for something, it was just held over your head every time. So I expected Christ to be the same. And to my delight, the truth that infected my heart was he's not like that. But he forgave me for all my trespasses. Just like he forgave you all your trespasses. And see, that's the truth in stronghold. Stronghold is that we forget, we get lost in the forgiveness. We get lost in humanness and the humanness of what it means to actually forgive. And the truth of it is that he's already forgiven us. We don't have to wait for humans. But our Lord and Savior forgives us, and that is real. All right, let me move on to the breastplate. Because that's important for us to get to too. Not only do we guard and protect ourselves with the truth, but the central part of the Roman soldier's armor is the breastplate. It is the breastplate. It's important. It's important for us to understand that. See, no Roman soldier would go into battle without a breastplate. Why? It protects some very vital organs. Very importantly, of what it means to protect those organs from battle. See, it's several things. It can be made out of really good fibers, tightly woven together. Made out of metal. Could have been an ironsmith who shaped it to form your body a little better. Could have been made out of really tight woven threads that you'd even tie hooves from animals to it to make it stronger. See, this breastplate could be many things. Obviously, we show the image of like a metal breastplate. But anything that would protect your body from that battle. And the purpose seemed very obvious. It would protect you and protect those vital organs that if struck would cause death. The heart, the lungs, the intestines, those vital organs were so important that the breastplate is that second piece that needed to go on. Not only have a cinched belt, but then have that breastplate that protects those organs and are so important. Are you starting to see the importance of the armor? That it's more than just, yes, it's the armor of God and it's an awesome that he gives us that to wear. But truly it's something that protects you. Because every day you go out there, you're in a battle. And whatever the world is offering you, it is not something that will satisfy you. Whatever it is that we believe or try to believe, it is false. See, we're going into battle. We must be protected. We must be ready. We must be prepared. But why the breastplate? Why is it so important? And why did this imagery come up within this context? Obviously, we know that Paul was probably looking at a Roman soldier thinking about this, and God inspired him to write about this and tie these to it. But also, he comes from a Jewish background. And when we think about that Jewish background, it requires a lot of understanding of protecting those intestines. So we look at more than just those internal organs, but the Jewish believed that it was like the emotion center. How to prepare themselves emotionally. That those bowels were so important to who they were. And they had to keep it protected. See, the mind and the emotions were two areas that Satan will feverishly run after. He will grab, claw, and attack believers in those two places. The mind and the emotions. See, he creates world systems. Sinful environments that draw us in. Because we lose track of the truth. And then our mind and emotions get weaker and weaker. See, we confuse truth for, it's pretty close. And if it's close to Scripture, then surely it's true. Remember we had that series, if you wasn't here for that, maybe you should go back and review that. Where Scripture is so close, surely it's true. I've heard my mom say it a million times. My grandma says it to me. Surely it's true. See, we skew. And we allow it to happen. But it affects us. It does not prepare us. And it does not keep us safe. We allow things like that to happen. When you look at this breastplate and protecting that emotions and your mind, which is where sin truly gets in and traps you. You know, rarely is it going to be like sitting on the side of the road in a paper bag and says, hey, here's some sin, pick it up and walk with it. That's not actually what's going to happen. It's not going to be in a bucket. Hey, here's some sin, pick it up and walk with it. It's going to be that where Satan tricks you into believing something you know is not true. You are worthless. You are nobody. You will amount to nothing. See how easy that is? Now, there's more than one person in this room that when I said those words, they could see the person that said that to you. You see, Satan corrupts us. And he uses the mind and the emotions to do it. That detours us from battle. Strikes a devastating blow because we become weaker. And without strength, because of those devastating blows to the heart, to the bowels, to our emotions, to our mind. See, that is something that will harm us. See, that heart is something that really controls our mind and our will, right? We always say the phrase of like, put your whole heart into it, right? It means you put your will into it, your desires. See, protecting the heart is important, protecting the bowel, the emotions, the feelings. Now, some of you have way too many feelings, but you know, that's a sermon for another day. But the reality is this breastplate protects those areas. And it's so significant to you being a believer in Jesus Christ, to your walk with him, and the way that you walk it out and live it out. See, that breastplate guards the wellspring of life. And if you were to turn to Proverbs 4:23, you'll see this. And you can just write that reference down and I'll just read it aloud. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. How true is that? But now what about this righteousness? It's a breastplate of righteousness. Let's think about that for a second. See, righteousness is dependent upon truth. The definition of righteousness is this: the character or quality of being right or just. Now, there's an earlier spelling of this word that I kind of like, so I draw it out today. Right wiseness. Being wise. Understanding the truth. understanding the truth. Now, it's no longer a spelling of it, because if you try to type it into Google, it'll be like, you spelt it wrong. But earlier, in like 1917 and below, you'll see that word used regularly, but it was transformed into righteousness. See, the reality is it depends upon truth. It is something that requires you to make changes. See, now when you look at righteousness, though, remember, it's not your righteousness, because we are not. But it's the imputed righteousness that God gives us, because it's His. And He covers us with righteousness. Now, so you have to understand that imputed righteousness. It's a very important key matter that He is the one who offers it to you, not you receive it. See, that imputed righteousness truly is something that protects us from hell, which is awesome. Because He covers us so that we may go to eternal life with Him in the kingdom of heaven. But it's not because you're awesome. It's because He is. See, that imputed righteousness, He puts it on you. Not you deserve it. But He puts it on you, imputed righteousness. And the breastplate is that it's His armor. It's His breastplate. And He protects you. He's the one who gives you guidance. He is the one who surrounds you. Now that practical righteousness is something that lives it out. Because you have imputed righteousness, then you can live it out. Walk it out in faith, knowing that you are protected with Him. Now, is He here to protect you from every single one of Satan's schemes? Yes, but you have to do something about it, right? You have to guard yourself with truth. See, that's the practical part. See, not just having His righteousness, that doesn't protect you from His schemes, from Satan's schemes, but it protects you and gives you the guidance if you surround yourself with truth. See, that truth is what is that practical living out of the righteousness. See, understand that one, it's imputed by Him, but it's yours to live it out. See, that's the key. And that's why it's dependent upon the truth you have in your life. So now, a way to understand this imputed and practical, I have a couple of verses for you to go to, and it'll be Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. To understand the relationship between these two forms, Paul lays it out pretty clearly. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Not having righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. If you skip down to verse 12, you'll hear the other side too. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God, heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Imputed righteousness makes practical righteousness possible. That practically living it out who we are in Christ, but only obedience to the Lord. Only obedience to the Lord allows practical righteousness to be a reality. See, He gives you the righteousness. He imputes it on you. But it is so important for you to live out your life the way you know you should. That constant obedience to the Lord, without question, without exception, is that practically living it out. See, there are Christians who say it doesn't really matter how I live, how I talk, how I walk, because I have His imputed righteousness. Well, I'll tell you this. and maybe we'll disagree theologically. But you have a choice. You're with him or you're not with him. You're not with him because you said the prayer. You're with him because you said the prayer and you live out your life daily, striving to be more like him. That is what it means to take on his imputed righteousness and live out your faith as walking with him and for him, because he is worthy. He is worthy of you walking it out and understanding that importance. See, those who presume that because they have imputed righteousness that they're safe and they have their fire insurance, it doesn't matter how they live their life, because when they go before the throne, which we all go to, we're safe. Well, I think someone's in for a big surprise when they get there. Jesus died to save us all. Save us from every aspect of sin. And he asked something from us. That we stay dedicated to him and to his ways. And that is the truth of what it means. We tie this up one other way when it comes to righteousness. See, when you have position and condition. See, position is imputed righteousness. You are given his righteousness. It comes from God. But now the condition is what we call active righteousness. Because of your position as God's chosen people, you have the ability to have that active righteousness by living it out. And that is something for us to understand, grasp, and love. We'll take quickly a self-assessment here and what it means to have this righteousness and wear this breastplate. See, the church today and many churches, even us at times, I'm sure, are guilty of supplying believers with all kinds of, well, let's call it paper armor. You know, all these different programs that allow them to, you know, good advice. But they don't actually take it on. They take it as advice. Rather than have them understand the deep importance of wearing armor and protecting yourself from battle. That it's not a suggestion, but it's a way of life. But see, that paper armor becomes, hey, you know, you probably should put it on today. You know, you probably should do right. You probably should follow God's, you know, what he set forth for you. But if you don't want to, you know, to each his own. No. We should be striving to do what's right all the time because God calls us to holy living. He calls us to be more. And churches are so guilty of just allowing that to be the case. You know, you be you, I'll be me, I'll preach some words from the Bible. But you know, if you don't like it, it's okay. I'm sure there's something else you'll like. God's word is God's word, and it is the truth. And see, if you choose not to put on that breastplate and have that righteousness, I'll tell you, this is the truth. You will have fruitlessness. You will not be bearing fruit. You will choose not to live it out. You'll choose not to have that active righteousness, which is that you living it out. It will show nothing in your life. I don't care what good moments you do in life. It will never outweigh the way you choose not to live your life. See, showing up to Sunday morning dressed, you know, looking good. Once in a while doesn't cover the active righteousness that's required of you to live out your life. You should look the same today as you do every day, not in clothes. I'm talking about in the way you walk and talk your life. It should be no different from the way you walk and talk your life during the week and now. It should be the same. Because that unholy living, you reap no reward. None. Not a one. The unholy living will get you what you need and what you deserve. a no reward. You will not hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I don't know what words you hear, but maybe just exit left. But it ain't going to be, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," which is the only way through the pearly gates into the kingdom of God, eternal life. You see, that righteous living is so important for us to understand, grasp, and live on. Take you quickly through the wrap up here. Be sure not to remove the belt of truth. Don't be lost because the world has lied to you. You are not sanctified by truth. Choose not to study your Bible. Choose not to believe his words, and you won't be sanctified. Don't be lost because you do not hold your armor together by the belt of truth. And last, be sure not to remove the breastplate. See, it is his breastplate. It is his righteousness. It's his righteousness that he bestows upon you to protect you. But it requires you to do something. Be in obedience to his word. Remember, it protects us from hell, but it ain't going to protect us from Satan's schemes. He is cunning. He's coming after you. And the more and more you study his word, the more and more you prepare yourself, the more and more he will try to attack you and find that handful of tunic that he can grab and pull you around. Today, as we wrap up this sermon, I just want to leave you in a quick word of prayer about how good he is. Let's go learn prayer. Father, thank you for how important it is that we're here today. Thank you for the weather, that although it is messy out there, we're thankful that we were able to get here today. Father, today may you encourage us, guide us, and direct us. May you get all the glory and honor from the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we live our life. May we truly understand imputed righteousness that you have given us, that we must still live it out. It requires more than just accepting you and sitting in our filth. But it means to change our lives. Understanding forgiveness. Understanding that the lies that people tell us are lies. That your truth is the realness, that we are loved, that we are cared for, that we are a child of God, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are chosen. There's not a mistake in the room here, Father. We are your children, and we are thankful that you call us that. And Father, may today you reap all the glory and honor from the way we fellowship. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.